Hi, this is Michael Levy from Fuzz and the Lens Productions. I'm a director, producer, actor, and you might know me as Will the Exterminator in the Terrifier franchise. I'm also a producer of the Terrifier franchise and director of upcoming horror film Stream, and you're listening to 30 Screams or Less.
Warning, 30 Screams or Less may contain spoilers about movies that have recently been released. If you haven't seen the movie, go watch it, come back, and enjoy the show. Or if you don't want to waste your time watching the movie and rather have two random horror dudes watch it for you, we got you covered as well. Welcome everyone to 30 Screams or Less, a horror movie podcast where we review horror movies in 30 minutes or less. Today's movie we're going to be reviewing is called Godless, The Eastfield Exorcism. It's directed by Nick Kosakis, written by Alexander Anglis Wilson, starring Georgia Ayers as Laura and Dan Ewing as Ron. The plot is, fuck if I know.
I had to. God.
No, I actually wrote the plot down this time. You just wanted me to say it.
It's just as good that time, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Because I just say it so seamlessly. Plot is, Laura is a woman tormented, torn between science and faith. Her husband pushes her to seek treatment from a congregation of zealots. Is that how you pronounce that? Zealots? Zealots?
I think so.
Zealots. Yeah. And a ruthless exorcist tries to save her soul by putting an innocent woman through hell. It can be watched on Tubi, so it's free. If you have Tubi, definitely check it out. I think it's fucking great. If you can deal with a couple commercials, best fucking streaming service you can get. It's not Plex. Don't worry. It's fucking great. But before we get into it, Corey, last night I was looking in the mirror, and you know what? My beard was looking gnarly. And I said to myself, I can't look like this. I gotta do something. So I decided to break out Beard Octane's beard wash and conditioner along with their beard oil, and dude, my beard looked amazing. I'm glad you turned me on to Beard Octane.
Yeah, of course. Like I said, I've been using their products for years and I can vouch for them. And whether you're pounding IPAs or chopping wood, you gotta look your best. Visit beardoctane.com and use the code 30screams10 at checkout for a 10% discount. It helps us. And like I said, the products are absolutely incredible. They're local too. They're based out of Connecticut. So help them out and support small businesses. We're not just slinging beard grooming supplies. We've been using them for a while.
Yeah, we have. With that said, 30 Screams or Less starts now. Corey, what did you think of Godless, The Eastfield Exorcism?
So I was halfway through this movie before I realized I barely had any notes. And the reason for that is I was so invested in this from start to finish. I absolutely loved it. I already know you and I are going to have different opinions on this because we briefly talked about it before we started recording.
We did. Yeah. I had, when I watched it, there were times where, actually, same thing, I wasn't taking notes, but it wasn't that I was, like, invested, like, super into it. I was just like, it was nothing really noteworthy for me. So I was sitting there, I was watching it. There was a lot of downtime, I felt, but when the big things happened, they were big. So there were, like, there was a lot of cool elements in this. You know, though, as I was watching this, a lot of this takes place in, I guess, a barn, right? Barn, shed, whatever the fuck it is, right? Looks like a carport, for all we know. So a lot of it takes place in there, and it reminded me of The Girl Next Door. Did you ever see that movie?
Was that the one with CM Punk?
No, not the slightest bit. It's another one of those movies where I watched it once, and I don't want to watch it again. It's just too realistic because it's based on a true story.
Yeah, no, I've never seen that.
Yeah, it's a rough watch. Basically, it's just this young girl who's tortured and raped and mutilated throughout the whole entire movie. And it's like her aunt, I think is her aunt or neighbor, is fucking conducting basically the whole thing. That's a fucking mess. It's an absolute hard watch, especially when it's like, you know, that actually happened.
Yeah.
So,
oh, yeah, we forgot to mention that this movie was based on a true story.
Exactly. So that's kind of where I was segmenting to, is that this movie, for some fucking crazy reason, is based on a true story. And it's crazy. Did you see the end with, like, the credits where they were saying that a bunch of people actually do die during these exorcisms?
Yeah. I mean, we'll obviously get there, but the big twist of the movie was her husband and who the hell was it? Dan, Ron, and Barbara, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Basically, all guy ended up getting charged with manslaughter because they're fucking crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I love that at the end where, because it was based on a true story, we were getting little snippets of what happened to these characters in real life.
Yeah. And you know what's funny is, as I'm watching this movie, I completely forgot it's a true story because of how absurd it is.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty wild. And I know, like, in the very beginning, it tells you it is based on a true story, but you kind of forget about that as you're watching it, because it's a fucking exorcism movie, you know?
And as, like, the ending came, and they were talking about, you know, like, at the end of movies and when they're based on true stories, like, they'll say, so-and-so got X amount of years in jail or whatever. And when that kicked in, I was like, oh, yeah, this is based on a true story. This is fucked up. It's pretty wild to even think this is a thing. Now, let me ask you this. Do you believe in possession?
Religion's not my thing, so no.
No. So religion's not my thing either. But part of me, like, wonders sometimes, right? Where some people can be so fucking evil that you're like, I don't think there's a fucking good ounce of human being in that body. I think something's fucking up. Like, that's pure demon, right?
Oh, yeah. Like, certainly there's, like, people out there, you know, I see this shit all the time. Did you see that guy on TikTok, the guy with the tattoos all over his face that was convicted this week of, like, killing some woman and they recommended the death penalty?
Yeah, he's got all the fucking swastikas and shit. I didn't realize they recommended the death penalty, but...
Yeah, they recommended the death penalty this week. I watched the sentencing. Dude had literally no emotion on his face. He didn't even flinch when they told him that he should be executed.
Yeah. That's so evil right there. That's someone who does not value life the slightest bit.
Yeah.
He just doesn't fucking care. And some people are like that. Some people are that evil where they just don't care. You know, they just don't care about anything. They don't care if they die. They don't care if they live. They don't care about anyone. They just are fucking a shell of a person, if that. They're probably like, who knows, maybe they're demons. And they're just fucking inheriting this body. And it's like, well, I don't give a shit. If you kill me, I'm going back to where I came from. What the fuck do I care?
Right.
But that's neither here nor there. This isn't really a religious podcast, even though this movie is fucking chocked full of religion. And these people, man, sometimes I see these movies and they're so all about God. And you know what? Like, actually, let me circle back for a second about possession, right? Have you ever seen Kenneth Copeland?
The wrestler in AEW?
No. No. Is that his name, Kenneth Copeland? I'm going to look him up and then fucking my browser's going to start showing me this guy.
No, that's Adam Copeland. Whoops. Kenneth Copeland. No, I'm not familiar with that.
He's an American televangelist.
Oh, now so, I've seen his stupid face before.
He is evil looking. Fucking evil looking. That guy. Corey, look at his face and you tell me that's not Satan incarnate.
He kind of looks like a dude you see on one of those home improvement shows.
Okay.
So I don't know if he looks evil, but it's like, some of these photos of his face are fucking hilarious. Oh, here's one. The devil made me do it, and it's got a picture of his face on it.
Yeah, it's the fucking eyes and the smile, man. Watch the clip of someone blindsiding him from Inside Edition about why he was able to buy a plane and how he doesn't want to fly with normal people. And it is fucking scary, dude. He snaps at, like, the drop of a fucking hat.
I feel like that's most televangelist people, though.
Yeah, they fucking just swindle money out of people.
Yeah, like, have you watched The Righteous Gemstones?
I haven't.
You should, because it's amazing.
I hear good things.
Yeah, John Goodman is the head guy, whatever they call them. And he plays the character so perfectly. But yeah, you should watch that, because it's definitely a play on all of this.
I'm sure. These televangelists, man, are fucking wild. Some of them, like...
It's 100% satire, too, and it's fucking awesome.
Yeah, I heard it's a comedy, obviously. It's not real or anything like that. But yeah, some of these televangelists are fucking something else, man. And you gotta wonder, some of these people are just so in their own head and they have this, like, God complex, no pun intended. And that they're just like, they think that they're holier than holy. And like this Dan guy, right?
Yeah.
He thinks that's what I was basically segueing to, is that Dan, he thinks he's this... fucking
what did he call himself? The instrument of God.
Yes, he thinks he's like an instrument of God and he is an exorcist. He exorcises people. And really, I think he's just like one of those people from a dark web that would be like, yeah, I'll exorcise you.
He just reminded me of someone you see on one of those old school as seen on TV ads.
Oh yeah, absolutely. You know, fucking Jack Chop.
Yeah, jacked up. That was awesome, though. You can't go wrong with Adam Green, and that was definitely satire.
Oh, I know it was. Yeah, I just wanted to throw that out there. I could have been like Willie Mays Hayes.
Yeah,
Willie Mays
say,
here. No,
he's
Willie
the
Mays
ShamWow
Hayes.
Guy.
ShamWow, yeah. Willie Mays. No, see,
Willie Mays
I think
is a baseball player. Who
yeah,
should.
Exactly. I'm getting my shit mixed up. I'm thinking minor league, right? Or major league. What the fuck's the name of that movie with Charlie Sheen?
Yeah, major league.
Major league. That's it. Yeah. So that's I was mixing up my infomercial people with a comedy from the 90s. What the fuck's wrong with me? I don't know. So
what was the ShamWow guy's name? That's going to drive me crazy. Billy Mays.
Billy Mays? Oh,
the
Billy
guy
Mays
that was always
here.
Yelling.
Yeah, Billy Mays here in his fucking immaculate beard.
He shit the bed, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
Oh, 2009, damn.
Yeah, a while ago. And he was young, man.
Yeah,
he didn't look
50.
Like he was up there. 50?
It's because he yelled so much. I'm going to die soon then.
Oh, I'm going to be dead this week probably. There's a lot of yelling this week. Fucking, my mind was everywhere. I'm like, I don't even know what fucking movie we're reviewing tonight. I already took the notes. I completely forgot.
I did too, and I had a kind of shitty week too, but like I somehow remembered what we were reviewing.
I didn't even realize until I opened up our Google Keep, and I was like, oh yeah, it's Godless, Eastfield Exorcism.
I'm not even going to lie, even though I said I love this movie, I was more excited for what we're reviewing next week.
Oh man, I am really looking forward to the movie we're reviewing next week, and we're not going to, I don't know, we could give it away.
Nah, fuck them, they can wait.
Yeah, you know what? You can wait. It's a slasher. We'll leave it as that. And
yeah.
So check back on Monday. It's going to be fucking great. Or at least I hope it's going to be fucking great. But I'm not worried. I'm hearing good things.
Yeah.
So we have this exorcist. And this guy seems like he's real, just like black market. Like, I know a guy who knows a guy who knows a guy who does exorcisms. That type deal. And the husband, Ron, he sees his wife is like spiraling out of fucking control because she's possessed or whatever. And I'm not 100% sold on the possession. I think it's maybe more she's just fucking crazy because of the shit that happened to her in her life.
And that's kind of what I was thinking as well, especially how the movie wrapped up.
Yeah.
Where they're performing the exorcism and she just dies.
Yeah. The way that she died was like the weirdest fucking thing. I had to rewind it and be like, what the hell just happened? Because obviously we're jumping ahead here, but she died, obviously. And it was like the weirdest way she died. His hands were in her mouth. It's almost like he just ripped her face.
Yeah. You see her like jaw split her cheeks.
Yeah.
Like he pulls her jaw off. But that's just it. When that scene happened, I'm like, she wasn't possessed at all. This was all like that fucking snake oil shit, you know?
Yeah, exactly. It was very snake oil, not televangelist, like cult type shit. Because this really did feel more like a cult as opposed to, you know, people just kind of praying or whatever. Because it almost felt like that at the beginning. Like, see, I was kind of thinking something completely different was going to happen. So Ron is at this church, whatever. He's just hanging out and it looks like he's getting his prayer on. Meanwhile, everyone else is fucking going crazy and they got like the, you know, the spirit of Christ is in them and they're like doing their thing on the floor and going crazy and like jumping and running all over the place. And he's just sitting there vibing. And my sole thought was that this husband thinks it's a spiritual thing and that he's going to all these different churches to figure out who can help his wife. That's initially what I was thinking was going to be, which I think would have been a cool premise too. But obviously this is a whole different ballgame because this is based on a true story.
Well, it kind of feels like too that he was convinced that she was possessed because she obviously had mental issues and he kind of forced it on her. So maybe she thought she had these problems and kind of acted them out.
Yeah. Do you think she like...
He was religious. He was very religious.
Mm-hmm.
And he was the one that called in the exorcist because I thought it was strange that they went to a therapist to talk about all these issues that she was having.
Yeah. Like and he was there with her the whole time.
Right. And he thinks she's possessed and they go to a family therapist.
Yeah. And so now I'm thinking like, it's just a control thing, right? Like maybe she's not all, actually, she wasn't even all that religious. And he knew that. And he was super religious, so I don't know if this was his way of like just kind of controlling her and trying to get her to be religious and that like she needs to freaking confess for her sins or whatever, like all that stuff. You know, you do all that shit like with religion.
Yeah, so, and I think it was certainly something like that because he convinced her that she had all these problems because we're starting to see flashes of someone covered in blood and missing their flesh and a baby that's burned to death. And we don't know why until towards the end of the movie.
Yeah, we find out why is that it's not necessarily, I don't think she's possessed. Right. I think that she just has so much like bad fucking, well, like the biggest thing that happened was that she was in an accident with, it was her, I believe, I'm going to say partner at the time because we don't know if it was like her husband or just a lover or whatever. I'm just going to say partner and a baby. And then also there was another person involved. It was a car crash. And she was actually pulled out and she survived. Everyone else died. Now, the crazy thing is there was this one scene where there was a plumber at the house. And, you know, the husband is like about to head out. And I think he's going to like prayer group or whatever. I don't fucking know. And leaves his wife behind. So she's dealing with the plumber and this plumber starts saying all this shit to her. And she starts envisioning a baby crying and the crib is on fire and shit. I'm like, oh God, okay, was there a fire or something? Is that why she's seeing like burnt up people or bloody people or whatever? And we get a fucking full frontal man in that weird scene. She's walking straight to that crib. So we got a baby on fire in the crib and then she turns around and is just fucking naked dude, like skinned, I guess. I don't know. It looked like he was skinned, right?
Oh yeah, skinned and I'm going to go with skinned and just bloody.
Yeah.
Or we later find out that it's he's burned.
Yeah, so I believe that was actually the plumber that was burnt, and he's just standing there naked. So I think a lot of this is in her head. She went through such a traumatic experience that she didn't know how to process it. And, I mean, fucking fair. Her partner and her baby died at the same time, and she survived. And obviously, I think if you have that much loss, you're going to go fucking crazy.
Yeah, and her husband definitely capitalized on her trauma, I would say, and somehow he manipulated her. So I hated this guy from the beginning of the movie.
Same. Big time same.
He was super condescending to his wife, like treated her like absolute shit when they were in the car for the first time.
Gaslighting all day.
Yeah, it was so fucking obnoxious. And I'm like, man, I hope this guy dies somehow.
And he didn't.
He didn't, but he ended up getting it worse because he gets to suffer for the rest of his life in jail.
They didn't go to jail for the rest of their life. They got manslaughter for like fucking a slap on the wrist, basically.
Yeah, involuntary manslaughter for three different people and none of them got jail time.
Yeah, so Dan, you would think that he would be charged with murder because he was the one that committed the act, while the other people involved would have a fucking charge of involuntary manslaughter or something along the lines. Like, they're not the ringleader. They're the ones that just kind of contributed. But if you contribute to a murder, you're still a murderer in a sense, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's pretty safe to say you're part of it. It's almost like the movie Bully. Do you ever see Bully?
I don't know.
No?
Bully. Let me consult the internet real quick here.
Yeah, consult the internet because basically everyone goes to jail for a very long time.
I don't know, honestly. I see the poster and I definitely recognize the poster, but I don't remember a thing about it. So
yeah,
I haven't seen it.
No? Okay, so Brad Renfro is in it. Rest in peace. Yeah, so he's in it with a bunch of other people, and what happens is Brad's character, he's getting bullied by this one guy who's part of, like, the friend group, and he's kind of a shitty person. And so Brad's girlfriend convinces him that, like, you know, maybe we should take care of him, we should murder him, and then everyone gets involved, and he does the killing, but everyone else is kind of there, and one of them does, like, a quick little stab, so it's not like he really fucking went in, but he did the final blow, like the death blow and everything. It's based on a true story. Same thing.
Okay.
He goes to jail. Well, actually, no. He gets the fucking electric chair because this is so long ago and it was still a thing in Florida. I don't think they have the electric chair now. I think it's just
injection.
Yeah, injection. So
he should have the electric chair.
Oh, God. Can you imagine? Fucking.
Yeah, certain people need it.
Some people, not to be that. You know what? Fuck it. Yeah, some people deserve it. And I'm done. I'm done caring. I'm done fucking being politically correct. Some people are just so fucking evil that they should have the worst.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
Yeah.
Low and slow.
Yeah. Oh, just like a low fucking electrifying?
Yeah.
Oh my God. Just a 3-hour electrifying?
We need to bring torture back.
Some people fucking deserve it, man. Some people are just so bad. But, you know, there's a lot of fucking shit when it comes to those with, you know, wrongfully committed and things like that. Like, but if there's people who are blatantly fucking guilty and they have zero remorse, like child killers, easy fucking, nope, chair.
Fucking, you know what, though? If you have a guy, like, say a child molester or a child murderer, the second those guys or women get to prison, somebody in there is going to take care of them.
And you know what? Those are the good fucking people. They're doing the Lord's work.
Somebody is going to take care of them, and the prison guards are going to look the other way and let it happen.
But don't fucking do that shit. You know, it's fucking stupid. People are nuts, man. It's fucking crazy.
Mm-hmm. It's a fucked up world we live in, dude.
It is a really fucked up world we live in. And these televangelists, this fucking guy who thinks he's an exorcist, obviously he's nowhere near affiliated with the Vatican. And a lot of the times when there's like exorcisms involved, based like in movies and things like that, there's a specific person from the Vatican that does that shit. And they tried to state their case, or they wanted to state their case to the Vatican. But the psychiatrist was like, no, I can't sign off on this, saying that we've done everything that we could and that like the Vatican can take over. She's like, she wouldn't sign off for it. She was just being like an actual fucking doctor. And she was realizing, you know, the writing on the wall that this husband is kind of a dick. He's a follower. You know, he doesn't really think for himself. He just thinks that, like, you know, whatever God says or what the, honestly, I think the church group says. I think he's more about that than he is really practicing God. And they're all like, you know, we're here for you. We'll get you an exorcist for this woman who is damned. And he's like, yes, please.
Yeah. And he's a straight as seen on TV guy.
Oh, yeah.
And he came in the room the first time you see him with that type of swagger. Like, he's better than everyone. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I hated that character, Ron, from the second we saw him. He was like the perfect heel.
He was. He was very good at what he was doing. So I will say his acting was very good.
So
you wanted to hate him.
Yeah. It was good, like almost cheesy in a way and bad, but good at the same time, because that's what the intention was, you know?
Yeah, well, you don't have to be good to do that shit. You have to just fucking convince people that you have this ability, you have this connection with God, and that you talk to him and he speaks to you and you see these things. And a lot of people are like, oh shit, okay. That's why there's a lot of cults. There's these cult leaders and they fucking do their song and dance and people believe it and they just fucking follow.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what happened here. They believed everything this guy was saying because they're like, oh shit, he speaks to God. He's like his right-hand man to fucking take care of these things. But snake oil, man. This guy is a fucking pure snake oil. So he's doing his whole thing, man. There's some messed up stuff in this too. And this thing, like, honestly kind of fucking broke my heart. I'm like, oh, shit. When the husband smashes the fucking child footprint.
Oh, my God. Yeah, to try and trigger this demon to come out of her.
Yeah.
Oh, it was so bad.
It was awful.
That's what I'm saying, dude. Like, all these people just tormented this woman so much. I don't think she was possessed at all.
No, if anything, she probably lost her fucking mind doing that.
Right. They mentally tortured this poor woman. And like the scenes with the, you know, there's exorcism when they're in the barn. You have this Daniel guy fucking hitting her with a Bible.
Yeah.
He's bashing her in the head with a Bible.
Yeah. Pure assault.
And then he threw boiling water in her face.
It's so fucked up. It's just pure torture the whole time. And he's like, basically, I got to do what I got to do to get this demon out. That's not your wife. That is a vessel. So he's like basically saying she's an object. The demon's in her. Your wife is not there. She is an object. So he was doing whatever the hell he felt like. This guy could fucking do whatever the hell he felt like because it was a religious thing, right? So he didn't see it as assault. He saw it as getting rid of the demon, which he's probably is fucking crazy. If not crazier.
Yeah, I was just saying, like, I have a note here that Daniel James became the villain.
Oh, yeah.
He absolutely became the villain when he started torturing Lara.
Yeah. And you thought that, like, okay, maybe it was going to be a good thing. But like you said, you kind of hated him from the beginning. And you could see the fucking, what was about to happen. You could see that he was going to be that fucking guy who's going to come in and he's going to do his song and dance and say how God speaks with him, and then he's going to do whatever the fuck he wants because he feels like he's holier than holy. And this guy was fucking, he was evil. He was absolutely evil. And then he was trying to say to these people that she's not dead. She'll resurrect in 3 days. And they believed him.
Mm-hmm. That's what I'm saying. Snake oil.
Uh-huh. Yeah. All you have to be is a good fucking salesman to run a cult. And he was a good salesman. They all fucking believed it enough for him to, like, to get away with whatever he wanted, saying that it was for God. It was in his name. And he was just doing God's work. Fucking, that's an evil person, man. And the fucking funeral. The funeral was so ridiculous.
Yep.
It's so insane. Because the funeral looked like, you know, like Area 51, how they really celebrate aliens?
Yeah.
kind of like that.
She was like, so it reminded me of Midsommar with all the flowers.
Yeah, okay.
It was very flower heavy. Like they kind of like, was she in a coffin?
She was in a coffin, open coffin.
Open coffin, and they kind of covered her body with like really bright, really nice flowers.
Yeah.
But she, like Lara, was, her skin was pale. Like she'd clearly been dead for a while.
Eyes grayed out. Clearly fucking dead. Super dead. Uppercase D-E-D dead. Soon enough, I'm going to make that shirt.
All right.
So she's super fucking dead. And they're all standing around and like they're mourning like there was a fucking shock, right? No, they committed murder and said it was a religious thing. Not buying it.
What's crazy is this stuff probably happens everywhere still to this day.
Uh-huh. Oh, I'm sure of it. I got to wonder if it happens in, not in the Vatican, but kind of like in that surrounding country, right? If a lot of that shit happens there, because obviously there's a big religious following in that area. I wonder if that's like a big thing over there. If some people, they think they're possessed and there's exorcisms happening like crazy. We just don't know. That shit's usually swept under the rug. I'm sure like the Vatican has their library, whatever, this supposed library that's fucking massive. Like they have all these things. Not a lot of people can see it. I guess it's really just kind of theory that that's a thing. And who knows? Maybe they're doing exorcisms down there. Not sure.
I'm sure they do.
It's possible.
I'm sure those are happening in New Hampshire.
Yeah. Yeah. Just fucking Manchester, New Hampshire having a fucking exorcism. No big
deal. Yeah. We're having them down the street. It's fine. Yeah, right, it's in the Verizon Arena or whatever the fuck it's called now.
SNU. The SNHU Arena.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're having an exorcism there on Sunday if anyone wants to come.
Yeah, and they'll have fucking Kenneth Copeland there. I bring it back.
He'll be the guest of honor.
He'll be the guest of honor. He'll blow the wind of God. You ever see that? Where he was trying to get rid of COVID? He's like, COVID-19, I'll blow the wind of God. Someone remixed it, and it's, oh man, you are missing out. This thing was stuck in my head for weeks. It's okay. Like a fucking, it's so good. It's so damn good. I'm going to send it to you.
You're going to send it to me.
I'm absolutely going to send it to you, and you're going to think it's fucking the shit. Fucking bangs, man. It's fucking right. Great. It's a banger.
I can't wait. Is there a lot of bass?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Cool. I'm going to play it on my car speakers driving up and down the street.
It's so fucking ridiculous. So at this point, the sheriff and the psychiatrist, like the psychiatrist knew that something was up, that something was wrong, because she was like, I got to do a wellness check. And the sheriff's like, well, there's not much we can do. And later on, then we find out, like, obviously, well, the murder happens. And the wellness check ended up just turning into them going to the funeral and being like, well, there's not much we can do here. We can arrest them and bring them in for manslaughter, I guess. And that's when like the credits start rolling and we're finding out that all of these people, I think it was really just three people, got charged with manslaughter. Dude, I don't think they did any jail time at all, actually. No jail time. It was like time served. And then I want to say community service. It was something like time served, but no jail time, which is fucking crazy. Imagine that.
I don't quite remember what it was that they had to do, but absolutely no jail time.
No jail time whatsoever. He fucking got away with murder.
Yeah.
And you know what? Let that sit with him for the rest of his life.
When did this take place?
Ooh, I think it was early 2000s. Yeah. They must have had a fucking good attorney. That's for damn sure. Let's look this up. When did this... Okay.
Dude, side note, a quick fact here. In true indie film style, godless post-production was done entirely from a MacBook Pro.
Fuck yeah.
Shared around the post-production department.
Okay, then. It came out good.
According to the film's director, he would shoot during the day and edit by night to make sure they had captured everything, and reshoots were not an option.
Oh, well, that makes sense. Just fucking...
The film came out last year, but what were these events? When did these events happen?
Yeah, that's what I want to know. I put in like the name of the fucking movie and time frame. You know what takes place? We'll say takes place because I think it's like in the early 2000s. 94.
94. Okay.
Yeah. So 90s. No cell phones in sight. Just people living their best life. You know, just doing exorcisms, having fun. No technology anywhere.
Fuck yeah! Send it.
Yep. Fucking send it. It's when Korn's album, self-titled album, came out. 94. Exorcisms and Korn.
I can't believe you just like spit facts right off the top of your head about Korn.
Segway. Not a segue, just like, no, 94.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it was a good day. I remember it was at Strawberries when I picked the thing up at the mall. I was like, this looks nuts.
Self-titled?
Self-titled.
I don't think I bought a Korn album until Fall of the Leader. I was at the store the day that one came out.
I wasn't there. Wait, yes, I was. I probably was. I was a massive Korn fan. And I am still. I love Korn. Mm-hmm. So I remember, oh man, what a fucking day this was. So I waited at Newbury Comics and Korn was going to be there and signing autographs and shit. And I'm like, fuck. All right, I'm there. I got there at like fucking 5 a.m. just to make sure that I got a decent spot in line, right? Mm-hmm. And I hung out there fucking all day until they were ready to do signings. And I think the signings started around fucking 3 o'clock. So I was out there all morning. And then I get the notification. Well, not even a notification on my phone or anything like that, because we don't fucking have phones. We don't have cell phones. We're just living our best life. It's fucking 1998. Follow the Leader came out. So 98.
Oh my God.
Just hanging out. Yeah, I know these are, dude, I was a massive Korn fan. I know all these fucking stats. So 1998, just fucking hanging out outside of fucking Newbury Comics. I get the word, because it's passed down the line, that Jonathan Davis is not going to be there. What the fuck? The person I wanted to meet the most, not there. The rest of the band was. I met everyone else, but the one person that I wanted to meet the most was not going to be there.
And I don't know if he does any meet and greets anymore either.
I don't think so either.
I remember my dad drove me to Newbury Comics to buy that record, and like back then you had to have permission from an adult to buy a record that had a parental advisory sticker on it.
Mm-hmm.
So he had to come in with me to buy that. Do you remember the secret track? Like it was like 13 minutes before, like, was it 13 minutes? The end of the last track before the secret track started?
Yes, it
and
was.
It was Lowrider, right?
Nope, it wasn't Lowrider. Lowrider was on Life is Peachy.
Okay.
So it was, oh, it's the Cheech and Chong song. Mama talking to me, trying to tell me how to live. But I don't listen to her because my head is like a sieve.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, okay. I remember this now.
Earache My Eye, I think. Earache
yes.
My Eye.
Fucking, we just turned it from a movie podcast to a Korn podcast.
Dude, I have all these fucking facts. I told you. I'm a fucking massive fan. So that fucking song is awesome. It's a good cover.
Features comedian Cheech Marin and mm-hmm. Cheech and Chong.
Yeah.
In a 2013 interview, the band revealed that they partied heavily during the production of Follow the Leader.
Not
with
surprised.
Massive amounts of alcohol, drugs, and women in the studio.
Good for them. They did meth during the cell title.
Oh, I believe that.
Yeah.
Did you ever have a copy of LAPD?
No, I didn't have that.
Do you know that record?
I do know that record.
Okay.
I've never listened to it, but I know of it.
I had a physical copy of it. I don't know what happened to it, but
oh,
yeah, I
man.
Had it.
Oh, fucked up.
Korn before Korn existed.
Yeah. It was it was kind of like a two bands thing type getting together. Jonathan Davis was in Sex Art, and then there was LAPD, and they just got together and made Korn.
So LAPD was Fieldy Monkey and David Silvera.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I own this because I'm looking at the cover right now. I'd love to know what happened to it.
Oh, man. You got to find that.
I bet that's worth a ton now.
Yeah, it probably is, because I have some Korn shit, man, that's like fucking ridiculous. I have a Korn box set, one of 5,000 made. It's wild. I don't even think you saw it.
I have a Taylor Swift vinyl that's one of like 3,000 made.
That's good. All right, Korn, I think we went off fucking deep end here and started talking all about Korn like crazy. We didn't even get into the review yet.
Oh, shit. We're still talking about a movie. That's
yes,
right.
We are still talking about a movie. We're a movie podcast that's just slowly turned into a Korn podcast. So, Corey, what do you give Godless, the Eastfield Exorcism?
So, I'm going to give this a 5 out of 5. I absolutely love this movie, if it wasn't apparent from how we've spoken about it. But it built so much tension for the entire length of the film, and I feel like the payoff was just well worth the wait. It was pretty huge. The character building for Lara was outstanding, and I truly feel like the actress that played her, Georgia Ayers, she needs to be way more popular. She was fucking incredible. Selling the exorcism part, the parts where she had her freakouts in the car.
Mm-hmm.
I was just really invested in her because she did such a great job. Also, I thought the score was great, and I did a really good job at making me feel really uncomfortable at times, which is exactly what I look for in horror films. So,
yeah, you love feeling uncomfortable.
I can't say enough bad things about this. Yeah. Dead babies.
Yep.
You know, I loved just it.
Fingernails, teeth.
You're the fingernail thing. I was like, Steve lost it. He's done.
Oh, God. Yeah. I saw that. Like, you know what the worst part is? It's like when they grab the thing, like when they're scraping their finger against whatever, and you hear the snap. It's the snap. And I'm like, just, it's gross. It's fucking gross. And they did that in the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, like the remake, where like they were scraping up against the wall and you see that same exact thing happen.
Oh, yeah, with the fingernails peeling back.
Yep. It's the fingernail peeling back and the sound. It's like, oh my God. I didn't even realize fingernails peel back that bad. Apparently these people are just like, oh, fuck. They don't have enough biotin in their system. The fucking nails and shit are fucking breaking like crazy.
Biotin. That's a word.
Yeah. Look it up.
I know what it is, but it's just funny that you said it.
Hey, if y'all don't know what biotin is, it's for like hair growth and nail growth. So
I should use that to try and get hair on the top of my head.
Yeah, same.
Dude, we've been bald for like 20 years though, so.
I'm probably going to shave my head soon.
And it's worth it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been doing it forever now, because mainly because I don't have a fucking choice, but it's worth it.
I still have a lot of hair, but there's spots where I'm like, do I want to be that guy who's like, I can hide it, right? I
don't. That's what hats are for.
Yeah, I know. That's what hats are for.
Every time you see someone wearing a hat, it's because they probably don't have hair.
I mean, I like my hats, though. And yes, I am starting to lose some hair. I'm assuming it's because of my day-to-day life. Just losing my fucking mind constantly. Hair gone because of it.
You're too busy just screaming in your apartment all day and losing your hair.
Yeah, that's exactly the case. Been losing my fucking mind all week. All right, I'm going to go into my review now.
Yeah, what do you give this thing?
You know, I think I may have been a little harsh on it. Maybe I'm going to change it a little bit. So I'm going to go with a 4 out of 5 on this one. Good, not great. Like I said before, it's funny that as I was watching it, I completely forgot it was a true story because of how nuts the premise was. Practical effects were good. Acting was fine. Pretty good. Score was decent. I knew you were going to say something about the score because I was like watching it, I'm like, score is actually pretty good. So I knew you were going to say something about it.
Yeah,
so,
we pick up on these things.
We do. Yeah. Like you and I are like on that same wavelength now. So score I thought was pretty good. But it seemed like it was kind of the same song over and over. I don't know if you noticed that.
I didn't.
No. It felt like it was either the same song over and over or that maybe they're different songs, but they tried to keep it similar. So I'm not exactly sure. I'll have to maybe go and like check out the score and see what they kind of did and then go, oh, okay, it actually is different. They just kind of transitioned a certain way.
Please do that.
Yeah, I'll check it out. There were parts of the movie that were quite slow. To me, it did feel a little bit longer than 95 minutes. But, I mean, I liked it either way. I'm not saying it was bad. I'm not saying it was, like, incredible. But good, not great. Would I go out of my way to watch it again? Probably not. But I do feel like this one will stick with me whenever I think of films regarding exorcism.
It was a different take on an exorcism film.
You know what? You're right. It is a different take on it because you don't usually see, like, a bunch of people involved in one. You'll usually see a priest and maybe an assistant, right? So, like Exorcist, there's the priest and then they have the assistant. Same with the Pope's Exorcist with Russell Crowe. There's a priest and an assistant. It's always like the two. It's never like a freaking group of people. But I don't know what Dan was trying to do. He basically just wanted to get a bunch of people involved. And he's like, the more people that believe, the better. It's like, okay, they're all just fucking torturing this person. There's like this one person, though, that was clearly like not all there. Like, I'm not saying like crazy. I'm saying like not super religious, right? She's a believer, but at the same time, she's like, we should probably call a fucking ambulance. And they're like, no, no, she will resurrect. She will come back. She's like, she's fucking dead.
She is a DED. She's not coming back. Her skin is changing color.
It's turning fucking white. She's very dead. But that death was so weird. And so I think here's what maybe happened. Here's where maybe she died. I mean, obviously the face getting ripped open could have probably put her in shock. Possible. Like having like that much damage to your face could hurt. Like,
yeah, I mean, her husband hit her in the head with a hammer too.
Oh, yeah, that too. They were just abusing her for fucking however long. So, I mean, she's getting fucking assaulted constantly, and then her face getting ripped open. Another thing could be, because I think I heard a crunch, is that when he put both of his hands in her mouth, and I don't know if he's like just trying to keep her jaw open. I believe that when you pull the jaw like hard enough, it can actually go up. And like, I don't know if maybe it like penetrated her brain or not a blood vessel, like an artery. And that's why she was bleeding so much out of the mouth.
Maybe. She was definitely bleeding a lot.
Yeah, like the jawbone just maybe snapped, cut an artery, dead, and now they're like, oh no, she'll be resurrected. She's the next coming of Christ. These people are crazy, man. It's a crazy movie. It's a very crazy movie. So, but we didn't talk about, we kind of did. The ending credits where they were showing all these exorcisms that happened and like how old these people were and shit. One of them, a two-year-old baby. A fucking two-year-old getting an exorcism and he died, or he or she died in the process. I'm like, that's fucked up. This is a child. Children are like as innocent as anything. Rarely do they ever just come out of the womb and like, I'm ready for murder.
You said rarely, like it actually is rare.
It is. Well,
you trying to tell me there's infants come out of there and they just want to murder?
Like, hello, my baby. Hello, my honey. You know, just come out and fucking ready to kill. You know, Dahmer. Maybe. Well, actually, no. You know, a lot of these serial killers, I feel like, are a couple things. You know, they're a product of their environment, and then there's already kind of a screw a little loose there. I think maybe they're somewhat born for it, but at the same time, I think the bad life that they live just fucking amplifies it and makes things so much worse. So do people, are they born, like, psychotic and crazy and want to kill people? Maybe. Maybe they're born demons. We don't know. I'm not sure. We don't know. Until we die, everything either turns black or we go somewhere. Don't know. It could go
turns
either way.
Black.
It turns black.
I've been there.
You've been there? You've died?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Have you? What? All right, I'm going to take this story offline.
No.
I don't fucking know, dude.
No. What the
fuck? You don't know everything about me. I don't know everything about you. For all, you're like, oh yeah, I fucking died. No big deal.
Yeah, I just casually died. I'm still here. Now we're doing 30 screams or less.
Look at us growing up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Query was ultra dead. D-E-D dead.
Yeah, and that's where the word came from.
Yeah. Or this whole time, I'm just talking to myself, and you're not even around. You're just a figment of my imagination. Now
that would be something.
That would be something. That's not the case. I'm not that crazy.
Not yet.
Not yet. All right, everyone, be sure to like, follow, and subscribe on Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok, Threads, and YouTube. Leave us a 5-star review on all podcast platforms so we can get some more exposure. Of course, tell your friends. Both our intro and outro music are courtesy of Andrew Scott Bell. Be sure to check out Andrew on all major streaming platforms. And if you see Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey on vinyl in the wild, be sure to pick it up. We're also part of the Shining Wizards Network. Be sure to visit shiningwizardsnetwork.com. They're an awesome podcast network ranging from wrestling to heavy metal, horror, all that good stuff. So check that out. Visit 30screamsorless.com for all previous episodes and transcripts to go with those episodes. Also, check out beardoctane.com for their whole line of grooming supplies, and be sure to use the code 30screams10 at checkout for 10% off your order. And if there's anything you want us to review, send an email to 30screamsorless@gmail.com or hit us up on social media. Use hashtag 30screamsorless. And also, we have some awesome merch for sale on our website, so definitely check that out. If you go to our website, at the very top, there's a shop link. Click that link, and you'll see all sorts of shirts, hats, mugs, things like that. If you buy it, it helps going towards our hosting costs. I'm Steve.
I'm Corey.
And thanks for listening to 30 Screams or Less. And don't forget to drink your beans.